From the 74, wealthy students more likely to get disability accommodations, study finds. While intended as a universal benefit, educational support for disabled children is significantly segregated by class, according to a paper released in January. The decade-spanning analysis of state and federal data found that wealthy families were twice as likely as poorer ones to be granted accommodations under the federal law section 504. A similar split was present in the vast architecture of special education offered through individualized education programs, though in that case, the dynamic was reversed, with IEP recipients much more likely to come from low-income families than well-off ones. Get stories like this delivered straight to your inbox. Sign up for the 74 newsletter. Nick Ainsworth, a doctoral student at the University of California, Irvine, and the paper's lead author, said his interest in the topic was stoked during the COVID era, when evaluations for special education fell dramatically in schools around the country. While studying trends leading up to the pandemic, however, he and his colleagues noticed how differently rich and poor households access the federal government's two biggest sources of disability services. We had some hypotheses about what that would look like with respect to 504 plans, but we did not expect to see those differences favoring high-income students. Those findings may have come as a surprise to the research team, but they validate long-held suspicions among education observers that 504 mandated aid considered less comprehensive than those provided by IEPs, but subject to fewer legal requirements are directed disproportionately toward the affluent. We looked across the income distribution and started to see these large differences, Ainsworth said. In 2019, a pair of investigations by Wall Street Journal and New York Times revealed that school districts with higher average incomes enrolled conspicuously larger numbers of students with 504 plans. Eligible pupils are typically given extra time to complete assignments and tests, raising concerns that some parents exploited the program to gain unneeded academic perks for their kids. Such cynicism is perhaps inevitable amid the furious competition waged for top scores and coveted admissions slots, and the jostling for position doesn't even relent with the arrival of college acceptance letters. Record numbers of undergraduates at America's most prestigious universities now say they experience conditions like anxiety and ADHD, which can confer special accommodations, but experts say it is unclear whether the system is being gamed or if its design simply leaves needier children underserved. Ainsworth and his colleagues created the study by gathering academic records for millions of Oregon students between the 2008-09 and 2018-19 school years, then linking them to IRS tax files over the same period. The combined data allowed them to see not only which students were classified as needing IEP vs. 504 services, but which specific disability they reported. In all, one quarter of the most disadvantaged students had an IEP, a portion more than three times greater than that of the very wealthiest students. Meanwhile, nearly twice as many students from families near the top of the income scale were assigned a 504 plan than those near the bottom 2.9% vs. 1.5%. Paul Morgan, a professor at the University of Albany whose work focuses on disability classification, said those patterns reflected important distinctions in how the two offerings are used. IEPs provide specialized instruction geared toward each student's learning goals, sometimes including placement outside general education classrooms. By contrast, 504 plans only require schools to make the requisite modification to give students equal access to learning opportunities. Their looser eligibility standards may allow parents with the resources and wherewithal to access support on behalf of children who aren't obvious candidates for IEPs, Morgan remarked. These are benefits that don't come with a lot of costs. Your child is typically not leaving the classroom, he said. They might be seen as beneficial without much downside in terms of trade-offs. To a large degree, the trade-offs families face when choosing between an IEP and a 504 plan are shaped by the laws governing each policy. Differences in those statutes mean that many don't perceive a choice at all. IEPs were created by the 1975 Individuals with Disabilities in Education Act, which lists 13 specific categories of disability from deafblindness to traumatic brain injury that make children eligible for special education. Congress disburses annual grants to states more than $15 billion in FY 2025 that pay for the provisions included in each student's IEP. The calculation is different with 504 plans, which are not attached to any federal funding. Under the eponymous Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, the plans establish students' rights to reasonable accommodations for a much broader array of conditions. Yet, in the absence of a federal subsidy, the assistance provided usually takes the form of cost-free interventions like extra testing time, preferential classroom seating, and even reduced homework burdens. Christopher Cleveland, an assistant professor of education at Brown University and one of Ainsworth's co-authors, said the incentives for schools to initiate the 504 process are probably less clear. Many school leaders feel that they are in a high-pressure situation to figure out the resources of SP Shield education versus local in-state dollars, Cleveland added. Schools are legally obligated to find and evaluate children who may be disabled, but in practice, many are never referred for services. Whereas the 504 plan decisions seem like they're more subject to advocacy on the part of families, the parents best equipped to wrangle the needed paperwork and prod school staffers toward a resolution are those with sufficient time, mental bandwidth, and experience dealing with bureaucracies. Since the outcome of 504 evaluations can hinge on diagnoses for disorders like social anxiety or attention deficit, it also helps to be able to afford the kind of expensive neuropsychological evaluations that insurance doesn't always cover. Miriam Nunberg is a former attorney for the Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights who now works as an education rights consultant in New York City. She said parents are obliged to be proactive in seeking accommodations, especially for high achievers whose performance at school tends to conceal learning difficulties. For guidance, they can turn to a cottage industry of lawyers, professional advocates, tutors, and clinical evaluators. While each of them bill at healthy rates, the expense could be unavoidable in New York. As in many other jurisdictions, disability evaluations conducted through the school district have faced irksome delays in the past due to staffing shortages. When kids are pulling SNBS, school staff generally aren't referring them to assessments, whether for 504s or IEPs, Nunberg said. So it really has to come from the family, and that's where you need to have the ability to educate yourself or hire someone to help you with it. Still, the mere fact that financially comfortable families are well positioned to hire that help doesn't reveal anything about their motives. On the other hand, he wrote in an email, the overrepresentation of 504s at the high end of the income scale was harder to understand. Some combination of three factors had to explain what was going on. Lovett continued, either moneyed parents are pushing schools to issue 504 plans that are not educationally necessary. Their children are particular. Ben Lovett, a professor of psychology and education at Columbia University's Teachers College, said he thought the valuable study's finding that poorer students are likelier to be assigned IEPs was plausible because poverty and disability are correlated.